Our democracy is hanging by a thread, but we know it's not about just winning and losing each battle. It's about persistence and building resilience.
That's why we're launching the Practivist Pod, the practice of activism made practical.
If you're looking for ways to get engaged or just for ways to stay sane, we want to help you navigate what comes next.
It's an exciting collaboration with political dynamo Jess Craven, author of the Chop Wood, Carry Water newsletter,
and grassroots activist Steve Pearson, host of the How We Win podcast.
Every week on the Practivist Pod, we're going to have important conversations with changemakers, give you practical ways to make an impact, have some fun, and inspire hope.
This is more than a podcast. It's a place for our community to grow our practice of advocacy for justice, equity, and progress.
Action is the best antidote for anxiety. So subscribe to the Practivist Pod today.
I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is Sarah Burrish. She writes for Alternet. I really like her take on things. I love talking to her. We're going to discuss all that's going on. But before we do, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Sarah Burrish. Welcome back to the show, Sarah.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Of course, I like talking to you. I like listening to your takes on things.
Ah, thank you. I love chatting with you. It's great stuff.
Okay, so the first thing I have on my notes here is just, you know, you're writing for Alternet. I want to know, what have you been writing about? Let's talk about that.
So the major stuff that we've been covering is what's happening in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. The slaying of Renee Nicole Good. And all of the horrific stuff that has followed. And I mean, not just, you know, the protests and the abuse that have happened to everyday people in wake of her slaying, but also what has happened at the Justice Department as a result.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so on Tuesday afternoon, we found out that six Justice Department prosecutors, like career prosecutors, resigned. Three of them were out of the Minnesota district. And one of them was like the main guy behind all of the cases involving the Minnesota daycare scandal thing.
I'm not aware of that.
So there's this big scandal that has happened with a couple of different daycares in Minnesota that were trying to get COVID money. Mm-hmm. And they're there are legitimately shady daycare places. The woman who was charged with it is and convicted is not Somali, she's a white lady.
Right.
So the whole like racism around it has become this whole thing. But behind all of that is an investigation that's been going on since 2022 under the Biden administration. But that dude, like that is the main dude who did a whole press conference about that specific topic. He was serving as the acting U.S. attorney for the District of Minnesota. And yesterday, I guess he was just like, no, I'm not going to do whatever you want me to do in Minnesota, which apparently was investigating the family of Renee Nicole Good.
And right. Yeah. I heard that they want to go after her widow.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that makes no sense. Generally, like when you have someone who is shot, you don't then attack the victim.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're not fascist author, you know, like authoritarian hellscape.
Yeah.
then that happens.
but now it's like, it's turned into this whole, you know, battle on the internet of people who were trying to claim that her partner was culpable in all of this, and which is just insane. Mm-hmm. So it's strange that that the Justice Department would just decide, oh, we're going to do this, and we're going to basically hand down the orders to the lower level Justice Department prosecutors. And so six of them were like, nope, I'm out. Three of them from that specific district, which, I mean, I mentioned the daycare scandal, but the rest of that is, I mean, that's a district like that is not massive. You know, this isn't the Southern District of New York.
Right.
So you take out the top three people, like one of them was from the criminal division. And so you're taking out some of the most important people in the office, and it basically means that office is SOL for a little bit. Which is,
I mean, there's also the idea that if you're taking out people who are like genuinely good people, they're going to be replaced with corrupt people. So I do admire the fact that they're saying, I'm not going to do this, but then we know how this all works, because then they just get replaced with Stephen Miller's.
Right, exactly. Or the alternative are people who are willing to work for the Trump administration because they're not the brightest bulb in the tanning bed.
Yeah.
And so then you end up in situations where you have justice suffering as a result of having inept people running the office. And from what I'm hearing behind the scenes, Trump is really, really hacked off with Pam Bondi.
Interesting.
I think
okay.
because a lot of the things that he wants, she can't make happen. You know, like they're actual laws, and it's like, yes, we can try and do this. And that's how, you know, Lindsay Halligan ended up working in the Eastern District of Virginia and prosecuting Letitia James and James Comey. And that, you know, obviously failed.
Yeah.
So
and they
I
want
guess,
to do it again with Comey. They want to go after Comey again.
So. Yeah, they're trying to go after him again. And her, I guess the next level person, the deputy who would become the acting person decided that they don't want anything to do with it either. So now they're out as well.
Well, these are really great fun times, aren't they?
Oh my God. It's weird because there's so much of it that is just little things, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of those little things just end up being huge.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you have all of this other stuff that it's a wag the dog kind of deal with Venezuela and Greenland. And so now we're going to end up in all these different wars. I guess he told the Iranian protesters, help is on the way. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. What does that mean? I mean, what the fuck is he doing? Oh, my God. This man is. It's so, you know, last year when. Or I should say in 2024, when we got the results. I'm not even going to say he won. I'm just going to say we got the results. And whether he did legitimately win or not, I fucking hate him. And I will never think that he would legitimately win anything. Because he absolutely won based on legal cheating. So anyway. But there was, you know, that feeling of, oh my God, what are we going to see? What terror are we going to experience? And I mean, last year we absolutely saw it. But this year it's coming in hard and fast and strong. I mean, last year we started the year off with California burning down, a huge portion of California burning down, and that was upsetting. But, you know, yeah, we started to see the ice thing happening, and now it's really escalating. And so I think, you know, okay, let me just say this. I mean, I know what they're doing. I know what they want to do is they want to make us afraid. And they're doing a good job because we are. Except we're also standing up to them. Maybe we're afraid, but we're like, hey, fuck you. We've got our phones. We're filming you. We're going to, you know, not let you intimidate us. I know that there are different places in America. I can't tell you exactly where, but it's like, you know, people are helping out their neighbor. So if your neighbor happens to be the wrong color for ice, you know, I'll go do your grocery shopping for you, which is sad because you don't want people. I mean, this is like,
right,
you know, hiding in your home. But if you feel like you can't even go to the grocery store without being abducted by ice, there are communities that are coming together. And so what I kind of want to ask you about this is, even though this, I like to kind of take bigger picture looks at all of this. And I feel like, you know, when we add up the fact that when you look at places like Hungary, places like, you know, early Nazi Germany, there really was no resistance. And we do have a resistance here. That's not to say that there's not going to be a huge fight. And, you know, people are for sure. I mean, one man was shot in the face and blinded for life. And he has a skull fracture. So yeah, really horrible things are happening. But do you think that this escalation of ICE, do you think that this ramp up that is like, you know, this desperate attempt to grab the power is going to fail in the bigger picture? Is that what you feel in your bones? Or are you just sitting here going, I'm not sure yet?
No, I definitely think it will fail.
Okay.
That has been the major shift that we have seen since Renee Nicole Good. And it's
right.
sad that her death had to happen to
yeah.
to really move the populace. But we've seen in polling over the last, what, like 2 months, we've seen it slowly get, you know, people get more and more hacked off about the ICE stuff. They're like, yeah, we liked the idea of you sending rapists and murderers out of the country. Everybody's behind
yeah,
that.
Right.
But you're taking the, you know, the random mom who's been here for 40 years,
mm-hmm.
who's gardening in her front yard. You're doing a SWAT team thing and throwing her on the ground and zip tying her.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to, like, nobody wants that. And
no.
talking about it as if it's your neighbors, like that is the key point of this. And I think communities all over the country this past weekend did marches everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been traveling to see family, and there was a huge march in Oklahoma City. And you better
wow.
believe ICE isn't doing anything in these red
right.
states.
Right, of course.
In large part, I know the governor of Oklahoma basically said, you better not send any people here because... right? Like, can
yeah.
you imagine?
No. I mean, and it's not to say that everyone in a red state votes for Trump or is a white person.
Right. But it's hilarious to me because the governor, you know, said that and he's a hardcore Trumper. I mean,
yeah.
he was a hardcore
wow.
Trumper way back when in 15 and 16. So, yeah. So, I mean, that seeing the polls react to the way that they have, I think it's something like 78% say that
wow.
they don't like the way that Trump is handling the economy. And then there's like a somewhere in the 60s now that people say they don't like the way that he's handling immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And it differs and it keeps changing. And it's kind of settled in that kind of 55 to 65 area.
Mm.
And so I've been sort of shocked, frankly, to see, you know, everybody coming out for this. Like it is not just a matter of we're going to protest. There are parents lining up outside of schools to help escort kids
right.
and their
That's
parents.
It. Yes.
And there are, I mean, there is a train of parents who line the sidewalks so kids can walk to school.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, like neighbors are helping neighbors
mm-hmm.
in a way that I think brings the country together in something that feels very post 9/11 to me. Like it
mm-hmm.
was the country became very small and very close after 9/11, and this kind of fear is remarkably similar. The difference is that it's by our own making.
Yes, it's just domestic. It's domestic.
Yeah,
it's coming from inside the country.
And so, watching the country really, you know, kind of say this is not what we wanted. This is not what we voted for. Watching Joe Rogan on Tuesday, like basically saying,
finally getting it.
You know, yeah, and saying this is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. Comparing the White House to the Gestapo and a nice to the Gestapo. And I mean, that's when you've lost Joe Rogan, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's pretty fucking bad.
Oh my God. And I wonder to what extent the president even knows.
No,
you know,
I
because
think,
Stephen
you know,
Miller is the one in his ear.
Absolutely. And I think though that somebody with a PhD or some doctor has said that what he thinks Trump has is, and I'm going to say it wrong, but it's the frontal lobe something dementia. And he thinks it's, and I mean, Trump is exhibiting all of the symptoms, the way he stands. And this guy started to list these symptoms. And he also said it's not Alzheimer's, at least from what he can determine. Obviously, he hasn't, you know, seen Trump in person, but part of it is that the Alzheimer's symptoms are basically just about forgetting. And this frontal lobe dementia thing, which I can't say, I don't know how to say it. I just don't know the term. But the idea is that it's more about making up stories and then believing those stories. Totally him. I mean, we've seen him do that all the time. What the sharks and the batteries, what the fuck is he talking about? And so there's, I think that's part of it, is that he is living in an alternative reality, just outside of the fact that he's a corrupt person and he kind of needs to do that to, I guess, justify anything he does. But it is this condition, I think, that we can see it happening to him. So yeah, he's making up stuff and believing it.
I would say too, one of the interesting things I saw with that New York Times interview where they went to the Oval Office and sat there for, like, you know, however many hours and just let him ramble. One of the things that a reporter brought up was his pledge to give everybody, what was it, like $2,000 or $3,000?
Oh, right, the $2,000 tariff thing, yeah.
And he didn't remember it.
Of course not.
He made a big speech, a huge speech, where he mentioned it and talked about doing this thing, and he doesn't remember it. And I mean, that was the first time I feel like over the last, you know, year, I comparing him to who he was in 16 is super interesting. Like, go back at some of those videos and watch some of the 16 Trump and compare them to Trump now, and you really see a huge difference. What I mean, that has been mostly physical and movement and stuff like that. But this kind of stuff is like, this is the not the flashing red light. This is the hammer bouncing on your head, being like,
yeah,
"Wake up!
Right.
Wake up!"
Yeah, wow. You know, I'm going to switch this over into a very uncomfortable topic. and now, are you familiar with William Sasha Riley, decorated war veteran?
So I've read a little bit. But the extent to which I know all of the pieces of his story is, I know very little.
I know very little. I know some. So I'm going to throw it out there, and I'm going to tell everybody that I'm going to be talking about some things that are difficult, although I am not going to go on about them, and I'm going to say them in a much softer way. And I'm not going to release everything. But okay, so his name is, if you, anybody can go listen to what William is saying. He talked to a reporter, I believe, or I don't know if she's a journalist, but her name is Lisa Noel Voldeng, and it's Voldeng. So if you just enter those two names, if you write William Sasha Riley, decorated veteran, you will find it. It's on Substack. I can't remember what the title of the Substack is, but it's something about boys, like we could find the boys, or there were boys, or something like that. So this woman interviewed this guy. I don't know a lot about it, but here are the highlights that I am aware of. Now, I did see in this blog post, there were several recordings that she posted, and at least two of them were over an hour. So there is over at least 2 hours worth of material. It's more. I don't remember how long the other ones. They could have also been an hour, but there was four or five of them. So this chat was very long, and he shared a lot of information. So the first thing and the thing that brought me to it had to do with Donald Trump and this man, William, somehow meeting him. He somehow became, I don't know, they knew each other. I believe that William is younger. So I don't know what age he was when this happened, but he saw Trump harming animals to the degree where Trump would harm an animal and then look back at him for his reaction. Look at William for his reaction. So there is that. And then there was also, I guess the interviewer, Lisa, had said to him, "Was this around the time that he raped you?" And William was trying to remember. And at that point, I got a phone call and I had to hang up and I didn't hear the rest of it. But basically, what I got from it was, yes, Donald Trump raped me. Let me try to remember how old I was. And this was a man. This was, at the time, he was a boy. I don't know how old he was. And then the last, trying to remember, oh, this morning I saw some of the text of, she had, just recorded it in a text and wrote it on Substack. Talked about when William was freshly in the military. I believe he was like, 19, 20, whatever. I guess one of somebody else in the military had child porn. And like the commanding officer became aware of it and went to William and he said, "Were you involved? Were you in a movie with a black girl?" And William's response was like, "That was a weird question, but I knew exactly what he was talking about, and I said yes." And it was, from what I gathered, and I don't have all the information, that his parents were selling him into, child pornography.
God,
So,
this poor guy.
and then he was talking about how the military is involved in sex trafficking. So the fact that this guy is coming out and saying all of this stuff, one of the other things that he said about Trump in regard to the animals was and this was before I heard about his parents putting him into some kind of movie, but he had said that his parents were really bad people and that when he saw Trump doing this, he was kind of comparing him to his parents. And he said, "I always compared everybody to my parents. Were they better than my parents? Are they worse than my parents? Because if they were worse than my parents, I believe that they would kill me. And I determined Donald Trump was worse than my parents."
Oh my
That's the
God.
extent of what I know. But this, I know that it's, I haven't seen it mainstream. I've seen people, in the comment sections or maybe just, random non- You know, journalists or whatever, just random people are posting it. So I haven't seen anybody with any influence posting it. So I don't know what I just don't even know about this. But what I do know is this man and this woman are putting their lives in danger to share these stories. I don't know why you would get so graphic. And again, and I only heard a very small portion of that. But now, this isn't a question. I just wanted to throw it out there to everybody. But I guess talking to you, I mean, everybody's so worried about the ex Epstein files going away. I don't think they will, but what's your gauge on this whole thing with the pedophilia? Because that guy, that Ford factory worker, called Trump a pedophile protector. Trump flipped him off. What's going on with Epstein now? I mean, we're putting it on the back burner just because everything else is on fire?
No, I think that is maybe that is the effort, like the attempt that he's trying to make. It's very reminiscent of the movie Wag the Dog, where he has a sex scandal and literally starts a war to avoid it. In the Epstein case, I think there are so many people who want to know everything. And Congress at the same time is kind of keeping this alive. Because in the House, yesterday and today, James Comer has been complaining about subpoenaing the Clintons to talk about the Epstein files. And so, this idea that Congress is not stopping on the Epstein files, Republicans are not stopping because they want so desperately to get Clinton, But every time you keep talking about it, it's still making news about Donald Trump. And every time you say, well, if you're going to subpoena Donald or Bill Clinton, then why aren't you subpoenaing Donald Trump? And one of the things that Comer said yesterday, where at the point where he walked away from reporters, was he was saying, you know, Donald Trump will answer all your questions whenever you ask him, but Bill Clinton won't show up to Congress and answer questions for us. And you're like, you know, it's funny you say that, because Donald Trump's never been under oath. He's never been able to go before any congressional committee. So I think if Bill Clinton, you know, they've I guess tried to avoid doing any kind of testifying for a while. But one of the in the letter that they sent on Tuesday said, "You subpoenaed 9 people that you said you wanted to talk to about these. Every single subpoena, every single person that you called has said that they will not cooperate. We're the only ones who said that we would cooperate, and you let them get away with it. Like you're fine with you know all of these other 7 people that you subpoenaed not showing up and not giving you any information, but somehow we're you know at fault. Somehow we're the ones who are going to be held in contempt of Congress." And so it's kind of this thing of like, okay, if you're going to hold us in contempt of Congress, then you got to come back and do it with the rest of these people too. And but I think the question too is, why isn't Donald Trump on that witness list?
I think we know why.
And I would say too, like, why isn't anybody that Donald Trump even knows who would have been able to talk about that specific time in his life? What you know, why aren't those people being called to testify? And you know, it's exactly like you said, like they are still protecting him.
Yeah.
But they suck so much at it because they still are talking about the issue. And in terms of the Bill Riley and Bill Riley, William Sasha Riley is his full name. There is a Reddit thread that has a bunch of citations to court documents and to what has already been released by the Epstein files. So one of the things in the emails that I know for sure that has been released is Epstein sent an email where he recommended William Riley as a private investigative attorney, or no, private investigator for an attorney. And so that attorney, it turns out, also represented Donald Trump in his impeachment trial. So, I mean, there are little kind of, again, this is like little bitty pieces that can add up to something huge. So that's one thing just from the Epstein emails we know for sure. There are court documents where he has testified under oath and listed witnesses of people who were involved. And so there's a lot of court information that to me, because it's under oath, it feels more legitimate. I don't know if that's actually true because I am in no way a legal expert. But, you know, that compared to Donald Trump saying he'll answer questions, you know, from the press outside the West Wing waiting for the chopper, like that's, I don't know how Comer compares those things, but I don't know anybody who's buying it.
Well, you know, I mean, it was supposed to be the whole list was supposed to be released 3 weeks ago. So it isn't and everyone's screaming about it. And then, you know, you hear people see people saying, oh, well, they're whitewashing it or they're cleaning it up and whatever. So we all know that's the case, right? We already know that they want to fuck around with that list. But my question to you now is, there was 1,000 people that looked at this document at the beginning of last year. Allison Gill of Mueller, she wrote, or I should say of the Daily Beans, she had put out a couple of different posts, you know, saying, if you are one of these DOJ people looking through the files, please let me know what you're seeing, X, Y, and Z. So she did get this one man. I can't remember if you and I talked about this before, but I do think this is relevant, where this one man was talking about how initially, you know, you get the files and they have a certain set of directions and then they don't know what to expect. And then they open it up and they find all this awful stuff and they have to go looking for whatever it is they're looking for. But then the rules would change. And so they, you know, and they would find these horrible things and it would be extremely upsetting to them. You know, these some of these men are fathers and they're thinking of terms of their family and their daughters. And so when the rules are changed, they have to go back over that same material. So anyway, my question here is there's all these people who saw it. And then I also heard that there wasn't very secure that anybody at the DOJ could go into some like cloud file or something and just get it. So I'm wondering, you know, there's got to be people out there who are not Trump supporters who understand that they're going to mess around with these files. What do you think the chances are that someone's got a hold of these files, you know, and they're just waiting for... I don't know why they haven't released them yet, but what is your, I mean, there's so many people. What are they going to do? Arrest everybody?
I know. That is a good question. I wonder how many folks, because so many people have left at the DOJ and the FBI.
Yeah.
And they've shoved out so many people. So I'm curious how many of those people are left who are willing to do something like that. And I bet that there are definitely some. Mm-hmm. I don't know to what extent those folks are willing to risk themselves. I mean, basically, we just heard a story about a Wall Street Journal reporter who was raided today because she was printing information about classified information that somebody was handing over to her. So the reporter isn't in trouble, but the other person who handed over the documents is in jail right now. So
what if what if I had the Epstein files, right? I'm mm-hmm. you know, one of these thousand DOJ members, whether I still work there or not, right? But I was like, all right, I got these files right now. I saved them. And I'm going to get a hold of David Korn from Mother Jones and just give them to him. I mean, what's stopping someone from doing that? They don't have to have their name. They could send them anonymously.
They could send them anonymously. It would be a huge file. They could also just figure out a way to upload everything to the internet in like a Dropbox file or, mm-hmm. You know, hand over a thumb drive to Allison. The trick will be it has to be somebody who knows how to cover their tracks mm-hmm. And who can get rid of every ounce of, you know, some... every technological thing that they have in their lives.
Yeah, we don't even have payphones anymore.
Right, can throw in the Potomac or something.
Right.
Because one of the things I noticed is with that that FBI raid of the Washington Post reporter is they took her she had one of those runner's watches mm-hmm. that does GPS tracking to track the run that you're doing, and they took it because that tracked her movements.
Oh my God.
So not only was it her cell phone, but they also took the watch. And that was when I started thinking, oh man, like people, I don't think people fully understand how much information, how much technology we have that tracks every single movement you've made.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, you got to make sure that the parking lot you're meeting Deep Throat in does mm-hmm. not have cameras. And you know, how the different ways that you went to the parking garage to meet and whether a traffic camera followed your car, whether, mm-hmm. I mean, there is so much information there.
Wow.
And so you've got to figure out, you know, what is a way that I can get to somebody that I will then not get caught. And I mean, you would think that FBI, at the very least, CIA would be trained in that kind of, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But if you're some lonely analyst who's just like reading through stuff, like you're not trained in that kind
of,
you know, that kind of way of dodging, you know, being followed. So I don't know. It's,
I don't know. I mean, I just hope that we get some justice here because it's everywhere you look. I mean, you're finding out that so many of these people that you've admired, they're pedophiles. And, you know, when this whole thing about Sean Combs came out, I saw a bunch of people on the internet just, you know, talking. I don't know. But the stories that I won't get into the deep, you know, all the stories. But it was like there were parties and awful things happened at the parties. And obviously there were people there that we admire. and you know, that we like to watch on screen, and they know this stuff was happening and they didn't do anything about it. And it's just so disheartening to hear about all this stuff. And so you learn that this has gone on, and the president, I mean, I can't even imagine, like when I heard the story yesterday that William is sharing just about the animals, I thought this man is just so evil. He's evil to the core. He is the, I'm not religious. I don't even like the word evil because it sounds religious and devil, but he is the devil personified. And it's just unbelievable that we have to deal with this fucking shit. And oh my God, everybody is just waiting for him to, you know, leave the earth. And I just don't even know if that's enough, because we've got JD and we've got all these Project 2025 fascists that want to, you know, destroy us. And I don't know. Okay, I want to ask you this question. I might have asked you this before, but it's something that I think about constantly. So if Trump, let's just say, you know, he falls, he bumps his head or whatever it is, he can't talk straight anymore, he's not the president, JD or whoever becomes the president, however they figure it out, obviously we're going to be experiencing fascism still. Like, it's not going to go away. But do you believe that the dynamic, because it doesn't, Trump does not look healthy. Everyone thinks, you know, he's got this dementia. He's probably got issues with his heart. And he's, what, 79 years old. So he's not young. And you know, we all know the hope from so many people, what they want. But regardless of what actually happens to him, I mean, do you think that post-Trump, if in before 2028, if there is a post-Trump, do you think that it weakens MAGA? Do you think that that they will figure this out? I mean, I know you think you're saying ICE is failing, and that's good, because I do think the bigger picture here is that we do get democracy back. But at the same time, we're going to be going through a lot of shit. So do we get it back right now? Is it going to take years and years? Like, what are your thoughts if Trump isn't around? And I just like to go there because we all want it so much.
right. So it's funny because I was home for the holidays, and so I was meeting up with every single person I've ever known. And like you do whenever you're home. And so one of my friends who is an older lady and a staunch Christian said to me, you know, the reason that Trump will never die is that heaven sure doesn't want him, but it turns out hell doesn't either.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, damn, girl. Yeah, when you let, I mean, she's also a hardcore liberal. Like, she's a legit Christian, right? You know, like, actually believes in helping people. So I know with an absolute certainty that JD Vance does not have the stuff to be able to rally the Trump coalition. Yeah. He will never, I really truly believe that after Trump is gone, there will never be anybody with that kind of I think marketing prowess, but willingness to just completely lie all over the place. Like, yeah. I do think that, you know, some politicians will willingly lie, but they really suck at it. You know, like, right. You can see like a part of their soul starts twitching under their skin, you know? And so, I don't think that JD Vance is convincing enough to be able to be any kind of MAGA leader. And at the same time, he's got that whole history of being, you know, calling Trump Hitler. And so there are so many people that I know who are like MAGA people who don't, or who are Republicans, but not necessarily MAGA people, who are just like, yeah, nobody should trust JD Vance. He's he's just an opportunist hack who will stick his finger in the air and see which policy he should follow. And that is not, you don't build a movement that way. You may get elected to a lower office that way, but I don't know that you can actually build a successful presidential movement. He's sure going to try, because I know he's obviously going to run in 28.
Yeah.
So I don't know how
with
that's
all his
work.
Eyeliner.
God, guyliner. The guyliner.
And you know what? I don't give a shit if men wear makeup. It's just that it's men like him who mock men who wear makeup, who are wearing makeup. It's like, you know. So, like, you know, Donald Trump doesn't know how to blend. And, you know, who was it? Somebody said, I need to get I think it was Keith Edwards, and he was like, "Yeah, I got to get the name is escaping me. You know what? Forget it. I'm just going to change the subject because the name is escaping me and the joke
the
is
man
dead.
Needs a
I
sponge.
Tried. He does.
He just needed a he needs a blend sponge
he needs a
and he
blend.
needs to learn how to use it."
Yes. Okay, this quick I want to just quickly go over something with you that I've noticed. Let me just be brief about it, because I've noticed on Facebook that there are a lot of lies, right? Now, we're used to this. We know that there's lies. But the thing is, this time, it's not lies about Donald Trump or lies about Marjorie Taylor Greene or liberals or whatever. It's just stupid shit. So, like, for instance, I do not like, and I posted this on Facebook, I do not like, meaning I have not gone and liked a page from Real Housewives of anything. Yet, my entire feed all day long is filled with these stories of all the wives' husbands getting arrested. Not true, right? So I look it up. It's not true. There were a couple stories about a month ago where it was either Bette Midler or Stevie Nicks or Cher telling Caroline Leavitt to sit down, baby girl, or whatever language they would have used.
Yeah.
I think they use AI to try to figure the way that person would talk. And it's the same story with just a few different words here and there. There's also, this is very disturbing. There is also, I see them as shorts, and it is homeless people who are very high, and it's upsetting. So someone has a camera and they're just going down to, you know, where the poor people are and filming them skid row, and that's it. They're not helping them. They're not doing anything. They're just, it's like a zoo. And you know, I have tried to report these pictures. Doesn't matter. I keep seeing them. They're extremely upsetting. And so my whole, and the point is that when I see all this, I see all these comments, either the, and it's tons of engagement. Thousands of people are commenting on stuff like this. And they're saying things like either, you know, they're commenting as if they believe it's real, or they'll say it's not real. But if you're trying to be like the Good Samaritan, say, hey, this is not true, it doesn't matter. Your comment is lost in a sea of comments.
Yeah.
And what it's doing is it's pushing that post out into the algorithm of all of your friends' feeds. That's the point. So you think you're doing the service to everybody by letting people know, hey, this is bullshit. But they don't care. They like it. They're happy that you're engaging in the first place. So, and it's driving me nuts because I'm seeing people, this all stemmed from the other day. There was a fake post that Donald Trump said he was going to ban alcohol, and everybody started posting it. And I posted it on fucking Blue Sky. And of course somebody's like, that's not true. And I immediately took it down feeling like an idiot because nobody knows what the truth is anymore. And then, so I put up a thing on Facebook and I see all these, so I tell these people, I'm like, hey, this is satire. It's not real. And they're like, well, it could be, well, it's funny. And then they just keep it up and they don't even edit it and say, this is satire. This is fake. So all these people think it's real. And I'm like, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. I'm not friends with anybody who's, I know this seems innocuous. I know it seems like it's not a big deal or harmless, but it's just the constant, constant barrage of lies that we're getting on Facebook, which was created by a man who stole the idea from someone, and it was about rating women's looks. And now he's, you know, aside from all the political bullshit and taking rubles and all that, he's just allowing all of this disinformation. And people think that because it isn't like a big deal, it's not political, that, oh, it's not a big deal. But think about how many thousands of things are people sharing in a year? It's constant lies, or just seeing something over and over and over again. So I'm sorry I had to rant about that. But I mean, are you on Facebook? Have you noticed the change?
So one of the big things that I will tell everyone to do is Google how you can get out of all Facebook advertising. There is a process where you can go through your account and delete sharing literally any demographic information. So a lot of times you'll get cookied by, you know, like the Real Housewives stuff, or you'll get tagged because you're a white female from this state with, you know, in this certain age bracket. And so they will cast a very wide net to try and show their content to people. If you remove the ability for those advertisers to see that information, then automatically your stuff drops down a lot. And
Oh,
then,
that's good to know.
like me, you get like a bunch of jewelry things. But
Much better. I'll take
right.
it.
But yeah, one of the things that I thought that Facebook was going to do is start this whole community notes thing
Oh, right.
that Twitter did. And that hasn't happened. And I mean, again, while I was visiting family, had dinner with one of the MAGA aunties, and she gave me this big download about Harry and Meghan, that she's actually in her 60s and they had to have a surrogate give birth to the kids and they're not even hers. And like, I was just like, how do you come up with this stuff?
Wow.
I mean, at the very least, The Onion is funny. Like it's so
Right.
a
Yes.
they just did a thing about how about Ken Burns doing a getting a cat for the first time and doing like a 10-part, 20-hour documentary on the cat. So
Been
I
hitting it out
mean,
of the park.
right? Oh my God. Like they earned a subscriber a long time, like right after the election with our house. So we even get the hard copy now. But yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I think some of us who desperately want to get away from the news at the end of the day, that's the kind of stuff we're enjoying. But you're right. It's like even if you want to get away from politics, they're using culture now to kind of hack the algorithm because those are the things that are popping up. So it's like, okay, we can't get any attention to political news because that has been killed from the Facebook algorithm. So instead, we're going to use pop culture information to push out the same news conspiracies in a different way so that it will get back in the feed. And I mean it's the smart way to do it because it's the only option people have anymore. And this is what happens when you have a giant media conglomerate decide that they don't want to allow real information to get populated on either Twitter or Facebook. Both of those sites have suppressed news websites.
Yes,
They
I
don't
know.
let them pop up in the feeds and political commentary, like all of that stuff is now and it has had such a huge dramatic effect on the news industry. I think there was a chart that I saw about the traffic and click rate for all these media sites and that they've been cut, 25 to 50% of their traffic to their website. Well, if you have fewer people going to those websites, they don't have any kind of financial support. So you end up with fewer reporters and fewer people that are following some of these stories that need to be told. I mean, we saw this happen with local news outlets, with local newspapers. It's the exact same problem. And now there's like a digital fight where you've got to fight with news about share because who's not going to click on a share link, right? But now it's like, okay, we've got to be able to talk to people about stuff, and there's no real way to get that information out there. So
Well,
this
and I
is
just, I mean, please, please, people, before when you see things like this, and especially it's usually designed to get a reaction out of you because they want
yeah.
engagement. And the thing about social media is, and I mean, and I speak for everyone here. I'm not just speaking for, those people over there, myself included. We all want to feel like we're weighing in. We want to be heard. We have an opinion. And so you and whatever that opinion is, again, like this is just bullshit information or whatever it is, if you just don't comment on their stuff, don't engage it, take a screenshot, bring it over to your own page, then start a conversation, but don't give them the engagement.
I will say too, you can also in the upper corner of all of those posts, the little three dots, if you click on those, you can either report it or you can hide it or you can say you want to mute this account for 30 days or whatever. Any of those things
And
really
I
does
do
have an
that. I do that.
impact.
Although I've reported the ones about homeless people and nothing, they don't care.
No.
Reporting to Facebook.
There's a whole account called Tweakers Geographic. where they follow around people who are clearly, you
I'm
know,
glad
addicted.
You've seen it, because no one else I've talked to has seen it. And it's like,
oh, no.
I see it every day.
Yeah.
And it's just horrendous. It makes me so angry that this is happening. I mean, it's bad enough when people go up and go, you know, here's $5 and look at what a great person I is. I just give a homeless person $5. I hate those kinds of things. But when they're not even doing anything, they're just filming these people. And it's just upsetting in
so
many different ways.
And making tons of money off
money.
Of it.
Yeah, they're making money off of these people. Oi, so I know you have to go, and I appreciate talking to you. I could talk to you for another hour, but, you know, I'll have you back, so we'll chat more later. But before I let you go, tell everybody where to find you.
So I'm on Blue Sky. You can look up Sarah Burris, just my name. And if you still are on X, I am saluting you for staying and not giving up the fight, because it is hard.
It is, yeah. It's bad.
But I'm on Blue Sky making way more jokes, because it's
so
a funnier
Sarah,
place to be.
Read her on Alternate. All right, Sarah, it was awesome talking to you, and we'll talk next time.
Thank you so much.
I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
It's no surprise that newsmakers try to manipulate the audience. They want you to believe that they are the one holding the line, and they'll use any trick they can to get you there. But don't let them fool you. Get unspun. I'm Amanda Sturgill. I've been a reporter, and today I teach future reporters to cut the spin and think critically about what newsmakers say. My podcast, Unspun, shows you how to know when you're being manipulated by the news. Learn to spot the tricks and how to make up your own mind about what's true. So if you're tired of being fooled by the news, subscribe to Unspun today. Unspun. Because you deserve the truth.